everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s HeartLink Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the Great Awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing leading-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual realms. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with Dr. Don Beck, who is the author of Spiral Dynamics, Mastering Values, Leadership, and Change. So I'm very excited about Spiral Dynamics and the author, Don Beck. And you can call in with your questions if you'd like at the bottom of the hour. And there are 800 numbers available on the Internet. And I may remind you at the bottom of the hour, too, to do that. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Carrie L., and I'm a transformational counselor, coach, and educator. And at the HeartLink Institute, I train others to be counselors and life coaches. So go to my website at heartlinkinstitute.com and learn more about my counseling practice and classes. I have both online classes and in-person classes, so check them both out. And also check out the Crop Circle cards, which is an oracle deck of cards along with a book. And using the crop circles and their beautiful designs, which helps you to access your higher self. So it's a wonderful version of using crop circles in your life. And now, just take a deep breath and relax. And let sacred love flow through you now. And the blessing of the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts. And may we awaken as that light. All right, so I'm very excited about my guest today, Dr. Don Beck. He has written, like I say, the Spiral Dynamics, which is about mastering values, leadership, and change. He co-wrote that with Christopher Cohen back in 1996. And as a counselor who's been practicing now for over 25 years, I've been enthralled with the whole concept of this evolutionary transformation of human values and culture that has been spoken about in Spiral Dynamics. So, and I just want to mention that Don has been consulting, and has a consulting career, and it's taken him around the world to many places, and maybe he'll even share that with us in a moment. But now he's co-founded the National Values Center in Denton, Texas, and he's the CEO of the Spiral Dynamics Group, Inc., and he is employing this model, like I said, to affect large-scale systems and change and among various sectors in society and in the world. So without further ado, welcome Don Beck.
Well, thank you very much. I'm just interested in what kind of category that you put me in terms of this concept, but I'm looking forward to spending some time with you.
Well, you can certainly enlighten me and share more about what it is that you do and tell us about this concept that has been going around and a lot of people know about it. And I kind of know a superficial understanding of spiral dynamics. So, but I would like for for us to really find out more today. So maybe you can just start out by giving us some basic concept of what spiral dynamics is.
Well, the official title is the Emergent Cyclical Double Helix Model of Biopsychosocial Systems Development.
Okay.
That's why we call it spiral dynamics, because it is, in the language of Professor Claire W. Graves, who's the original thinker behind the concept, that's it is all of that, which means it is a very common sense, practical way of understanding how human nature has over time emerged through different value systems, or what we call mimetic codes, as we have dealt with the life conditions that we have in part produced ourselves, or nature has added a few wild cards like major weather changes and other events. So it's simply an attempt to look deeper into the human trajectory in order to detect how and why we have created these different value structures or complex adaptive intelligences, which have been required because of the nature of those life conditions. Thus far, we have identified 8 of these core DNA-type intelligences, with the 9th one for sure on the horizon. They are not types of people. They are systems in people, in organizations, in cultures. We are not single types. These are musical notes, but we are musical chords with the capacity to add new systems when life conditions warrant. But the older systems, much like the Russian dolls, the doll within the doll within the doll, are still just 2 monthly paychecks behind tomorrow, or when there's a major environmental crisis, then one can see regression into the earlier systems. So that new definition of human nature, which says that when life conditions warrant, we are capable of forming new systems. At least that's been our history, and whether that will continue, it remains to be seen. Because we may, with 6.7 billion people, we find ourselves today with a whole new set of life conditions, the likes of which we have never seen before. And that's the current situation in which we find ourselves. So these are indeed interesting times. And
it's going to
call on all of us in order to deal with them.
They definitely are. It's a special time, I think, to be alive on the planet. People are dealing with things that they've never had to deal with before. And perhaps that's been what we've needed, actually, to make this evolutionary jump that I think is going to happen. And you're talking about adaptive intelligences that fit kind of right in with the way, at least I see it happening. You know, if you're confronted with a set of problems, you're going to have to deal with them. So is that about right? Are you seeing it that way too?
Well, yes, and you've had my friend Dr. Bruce Lipton on recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks about genetics and how the environmental forces can shape our biological DNA codes.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parallel, we are speaking of what are called mimetics, which is once again how life conditions are shaping our value system, so that both genes and what we call memes co-emerge.
Mm-hmm.
To produce the kind of collective value systems that we can see, but the problem is that there are billions of people passing through different codes simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a single future for humans.
Well, let's give a kind of a basic rundown of those 8 codes that you talk about, so that we can give our audience a real understanding of what you mean, real kind of specific.
All right, this will be pretty quick. And as you know, we
we'll
use
go back
colors.
Over it. Yeah.
Yeah, we use colors to designate them, not a chocolate color scheme or any metaphysical use of colors. It's just a practical language mm-hmm. to use.
Mm-hmm.
From our first system, our survivalistic, making through the day, making through the night, and our long prehistory as a species, in which simply surviving was the bottom line. We call it beige, emerging during the Ice Age into a tribal structure with animism, with the first ability to connect cause and effect, and we call that tribal animistic system purple, and it's alive and well in Africa and in South Dallas. Out of the purple system, we found the sky gods, and the sense of self started to emerge, the egocentric self. We call it red. And it can be healthy or it can be unhealthy. It can be dark or light, depending upon how it's expressed. Out of the heavy red warlord empire system, like in Afghanistan, has emerged over time the absolutistic, the one right way, the purpose-driven, to sacrifice self to obtain later, and that emerges what we call the blue system. So in Afghanistan, we see red versus blue. The blue, unhappily, is the Taliban. Out of the blue system in the Enlightenment.
Wait a minute. Can we put it maybe closer to home?
Oh, well, certainly any very conservative or very liberal, one right way, left wing, right wing, where what truth is known by them is the blue system.
Conformity.
Yeah, and without it, we have chaos, though it is an essential foundation for any civilization. And when it weakens, as it has, then we have the current financial crisis, or we have forms of anarchy and lack of respect for tradition or justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a critical system just around the corner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go right ahead.
Well,
you're doing great.
This kind of quick, but... out of that system during the Dark Ages, suddenly we discovered the autonomous self and the scientific method, because we couldn't explain diseases other than God must have caused them. And when we figured out, well, maybe it's a bacteria that's causing it, then this really ushered in the whole world of experimental science and gave rise to pragmatism, to the idea of progress, that humans could determine their own destiny. Thus, it caused the Protestant Revolution and the emergence of a certain version of capitalism that we see today. And so out of this, what we call the Orange System, has emerged in our lifetime, the first wave of it, the egalitarian, humanistic, very sensitive green system, in which we believe all people are the same and deserve equal treatment by everything. And so these first six systems, from beige survival to purple tribal to egocentric red to absolutistic purpose-driven blue into the enterprise, pragmatism, first world of orange, and then into the postmodern humanistic world of green. In Claire Gray's research, these represent the first tier systems. And he found in his research, and all this, by the way, is based on scientific research, not conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
He found a more complex...
He was a professor of psychology, wasn't he?
Yes, a more complex system started to emerge that was simply not the next in the series of six, but appeared to be a new set of six. From the first set, concerned with existence on the planet, and we have for the most part conquered most of those problems, not all by any means, which into this second set, the levels of being, very much like a lot of Maslow thinking, we've seen the first two of those systems to date. The seventh code is the systemic, the authentic, the integral, the reality that from pre-modern to modern to post-modern and then to integral is a major shift, because in integral We have to learn to manage all the moderns, from the pre-modern to the modern and the postmodern, and respect that people indeed are passing through those particular zones. And then its compatriot is the turquoise system, which is just now beginning to show itself because of the reality that everything seems to play globally, whether it's a matter of environmental warming or matter of the threat of viruses of various kinds, that we are steadily beginning to see that we're all connected to everything. So these are the first of the eight systems, with the potential of the ninth one on the horizon, if indeed we survive this major transformation. But the
Do you think we're going to make it? What's your sense about this?
Well, thus far we have, in spite of lions and tigers and bears, oh Lord, save us from these. But now we confront the problem created by the beige, the purple, the red, the blue, the orange, and the green systems. So
because
what yellow?
They're kind of stuck in fear. Would that be about the right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. And isms of various kinds in blue. Sunni Shia and the tragedy that happened in India with regard to the attack on the hotel is simply evidence that there are malignant versions of these systems still alive and well who today can access the weapons of the more complex systems. Thus we have a world in danger because of humans. And so the real challenge for us today is to find ways to defuse many of these growing conflicts, which are simply billions of people passing through the zones that many so-called Europeans or first worlders have already passed through. And our own history has been, shall we say, rather violent through the Civil Wars and Hundred Year Wars and War of the Roses and certainly World Wars. And so we have a very unpleasant legacy on one hand and need to simply accept the fact that there are a whole lot of people who are passing through those zones. We hope making better decisions than we did, because everything today globally is connected and we are not protected with our oceans as we were anymore. So the geographic boundaries and walls that kept people separate to contain the violence with bows and arrows, even machine guns, can no longer protect us from very dangerous weapons. Mm-hmm. So here we are in the 21st century with tremendous opportunities for a wonderful lifestyle because of the humanistic values which have appeared and the wonderful medical technologies and access of the internet where we can go virtually anywhere. But it's unfortunate that most of the people on the planet don't enjoy these same kind of privileges. So the huge have-not gap appears to grow with every generation. And many of our attempts, noble as they have been, through NGOs and United Nations and State Departments and other things, seemingly are unable to close those gaps. And so that's what we are presented with today, and if we don't do something about it, we'll hand it off to our children and grandchildren, and that will be a tragedy if we can't rise to the occasion.
Now, so your company is called Spiral Dynamics, is that correct?
Well, that's one of the companies. The others are the Centers for Human Emergence that we have created over the planet. Everyone who's in these centers have been involved in Spiral Dynamics for sure, but also we have other people who join with us. Dr. Jean Houston and her work is part of our movement. Dr. Itchak Adesis and Corporate Life Cycles from Santa Barbara is part of it. And there are others who join with us who have a sense of evolutionary systems. And so rather than simply use Spiral Dynamics codes as the only model for emergence, we've been open for some time to find kindred spirits elsewhere, because it's going to take all of us, at least a lot more of us, if we're going to navigate these very difficult divides. But I am basically optimistic because the fact, in spite of our existence problems as a species over time, we are still here. And I think that's the miracle of it all.
Well, and it sounds like you're kind of in the midst of helping others, you know, get to, from one place to another in their development. Am I correct about that? Through these centers that you have and that you're interfacing with?
Well, that's partly true, but we also are equally interested in healthy versions of these eight value systems, which I've just listed for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're really not in the changing of people business.
Okay.
We're in the design of habitats, environments, that will support the kind of nonlinear shifts that happen in humans because of who we are and because of what our life conditions are. So we are as interested in horizontal development, so healthy versions of tribes and empires and isms of various kinds, as well as keeping the whole spiral open for movement if and when it's being triggered, because we have found that many of our difficulties, like around terrorism and other self-destructive acts, are often a function of people being blocked in their development. It's like the old World War One song, "How you keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris." And as access to technology shows people what the world is like elsewhere, they now realize what they don't have. And when they're unable to achieve that, it becomes a source of a significant amount of violence. And that's what we see today in India and Pakistan, for example. So we are interested in how we open up systems and how we facilitate movement if and when it's triggered. And we are interested in three primary themes. That will be sustainability of that which is important to us, resilience, the capacity to respond to wild cards in a crisis like now. But the third is emergence, because what's lurking in the background is the fact that humans do not stay in systems. For the most part, when there are opportunities which have been triggered, they sense a better world, and they become very frustrated if that world doesn't open for them. So it's how we can manage these evolutionary shifts that is really the focus for the Centers for Human Emergence.
Well, now, you've just described many people who are undergoing that feeling of they're just on the threshold of making it into the second tier, or the yellow or turquoise level, and are feeling very frustrated by having to deal with, you know, a world that is still in the dark ages sometimes. And that's something that I think I speak for a lot of my listeners about. That, of course, especially now that we're going through this crisis, and it's throwing us into this sense of, well, impending whatever, and at the same time having a knowingness that we're so powerful, that we're much more than any of the third dimensional hassles and problems that could ever keep us down. But it's like we're kind of on the skirting on this precipice of making it in this consciousness shift to beyond the survival stuff, the deficiency needs and that, and it's like very frustrating for many of us, I think, and that we've been doing this for years now, and I guess we're like thinking, okay, this is it. We're like on the brink of making a breakthrough.
Well, I think that you have very well articulated the transition from the six-level green system, that in spite of love and caring and tenderness and sharing the light with others, they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 really gave us a wake-up call, and the financial crisis has certainly added to it.
Well, and not being able to trust your own government, and having, you know, of course, dealing with so many levels of fears in people right now, and of course a lot of it comes from a subconscious negative programming that I think is, you know, just, we're like, again, at this point of breaking through that in our consciousness.
Yeah, one of my good friends a couple of years ago sent me this song by Neil Diamond called Beautiful Noise. And in that, the theme of the song is that the noise that we hear on the street, which seems chaotic and fearful, if we look at it differently as simply the noise of humanity, and that our task, our opportunity, our privilege, if I can say that, at this seventh level is to give it a tune. So the kinds of people that I deal with tend not to have that kind of depression or fear. They seem to have a belief in yeasty times, that there's almost an element of joy in them, because they realize that of all expressions of our human species, that we have a unique opportunity to go back to the future and forward to the past in the same generation, and should thank our lucky stars that we are the ones. We are in a position to deal with the entire psychological history of our species.
Oh, I think these are fantastic times to be alive.
Oh,
no
yeah. I mean,
it's
just, I'm just so thrilled that this is happening on our watch. I just came from Chile, and I had no idea what to expect in that country, and it was just really pleased at the quality of thinking that I was witnessing. But I tend to find this wherever I've been this last year especially. So what looks like a financial crisis is certainly a problem, but others are seeing this as the necessary step in stage for a major transformation to happen. And Claire Gray's research very, very clearly looks at the stages of change. And one aspect of what we call large-scale system change is the fact that we will have dissonance, and they will, we will try our solutions, and they will fail. And at that point, a window opens.
They're bound to fail. I mean,
of course they will. So that's where we are. So we're really as.
It's like you know, I was telling my students. I teach the different trends, and these are the times that we're in terms of. And I teach astrology, and I don't know if you have any interest at all in esoteric information, but basically, we have been living with the last 8 years with Pluto in Sagittarius, in which we have had a major transformation of the Republican Party and a major revelation of what's been going on in the Republican Party. And now we've got Pluto has just gone into Capricorn, which represents the Democratic Party. So it's like major revelations will come forward for people about the Democratic Party. So these are times that are really it's like we are needing to go through them. I mean, it may seem like we're going through baby steps initially, but if you notice, we had 8 years of the Republican Party. Well, we'll probably just have 4 years before we understand what's really going on with the Democratic Party, and of course, that it's a one-party system that we've been living with all along, and that will make us really wake up to new possibilities and a new way of doing things instead of being stuck in the same old system that we've been in. That's just going nowhere, and obviously, and keeping us. And so now we've got an opportunity. In other words, a big opportunity.
Well, I can certainly agree with that opportunity. We've just announced. I guess we first announced it 10 years ago. What's called transpartisanship, which is how we still recognize that in our evolutionary system. Having from the left, from the right, is one way to keep some kind of responsibility. Yet when we're in a time of crisis, that sort of polarity simply cannot solve our problem. So we're looking for ways to create new decision-making forms, politically, for example, that can mobilize all the stakeholders in a community or a country and focus resources like laser beams on the steps and stages of emergence. So the shift into the second tier, into the integral worldview, carries with it a different definition of capitalism. It's into functional capitalism, a different way to deal with all the different political assortments, from unilateral to bilateral to multilateral, into what we call a new sense of polylateral, a shared intelligence, not a new UN-type building, but a way for leaders across many domains to act more responsibly based on the kind of life condition in which they find their country or even their tribe, if that's the case. So we sense that what is being born today is a whole different way to think about our future as a species, and the extent to which that can begin to spread through power centers. And unhappily, it may take serious problems of existence, like the financial crisis or even something worse, for us, as you say, to wake up to the fact that we have thus far been successful with certain value structures in operation, and they've helped us conquer many of our challenges and problems, but this is a new world.
And they're no longer working.
Well, yeah. That's what it takes for us to wake up, as you say, to these realities. And just what's ahead for us politically with President-elect Obama remains to be seen. The way he's picking cabinet ministers today doesn't look like there's a whole lot of change going to happen.
No,
but maybe that's
doesn't.
Wise, you see, if we try to move too far too fast.
Well, again, I think the revelation will be that it's just that we've really put Clinton into the White House, and we'll find that out much sooner than later, I think.
Well, which Clinton are you talking about now?
Well, you know, that is a good question, but no, Hillary definitely is in line now as Secretary of State. She will be in line to become the president.
Well, so, of course, you know that goes through the vice president and Speaker of the House.
Well, you know, what can I say? We have, you know, I don't know how much you want me to go into the cabal.
You don't like Hillary.
Well, but, you know, we it's not about the players, the individual personalities so much as the underlining rulers that the elite that is really ruling the whole thing behind the scenes. They you know, they'll get their people in regardless of what we think we voted for, and so we do have these figureheads that really, you know, are going to be disappointing us if we are stuck in having this fantasy that they're going to change anything. That
well,
they
I mean,
really have the
okay,
power to really do any change.
It almost sounds like a conspiracy or something.
Well, it sounds more like a collusion, that there really is collusion with groups of very wealthy people that have control of the banks and the Federal Reserve and so forth, that have been doing things for quite some time to this country that is really a sham. And unfortunately, we now are going to find out through the next 4 years what the sham is. But I think it will be quite enlightening. I think Hillary will be one of those who sheds some light on what's going on.
You would have liked to have the governor from Alaska, man.
No. I mean, none of the politicians. You know what? It's not the change through politics that's going to matter, as far as I'm concerned. It's business as usual when it comes to the structure of political leaders. and the cabal is ruling the whole thing.
Yeah, politics is simply the operating code of a culture that we choose to operate, like from tribals to empires to absolutistic kind of authoritarian structures, and then but now through the invisible hand of Adam Smith, which is certainly the values of the marketplace versus that of the authorities, and certainly in our green system we're seeing a lot more participation of people that begins to reject the kind of conspiracies about the elite, and certainly within yellow turquoise. The shift is into competency, not rank, not academic background, but who can get jobs done. So it's a functional age that I think is about to descend on us. And if that means that we move beyond some of the fears that you have, and maybe rightfully so.
Well, it's not about fear. I really don't have any personal fear so much as I'm aware that we've got to come out of ignorance and denial. And I really do believe that we are making major headway in that direction, sure.
Be of good cheer. I mean, these are exciting times.
Well, I agree. We were just discussing, how the line of the presidency will fall. And of course, nothing is written in stone yet. We have no idea who's really going to end up 4 years from now being the president. There are all sorts of possibilities.
Well, yeah, I just wish Harry Truman would come back on the planet, because that would really sort things out.
Well, again, it's these myths of Harry Truman and myths of FDR and myths of Lincoln that I think isn't that one of the purple stage?
There are those who it's awful hard to think about Harry Truman in purple in the same sentence.
I think it's the belief system of a myth that I was talking about.
Well, of course, you can go back to all the leaders in human history. I mean, there have always been strong individuals which have risen in crisis time. So it's simply what kind of value system that they carried with them, mm-hmm. From Winston Churchill and all the way back. And I of course can't stereotype all of them, but cometh the time, cometh the thinking, and cometh the humans who think that way, be they male or female, be they working independently or in groups of various kinds. So to me, that has simply been the experience of humans as we have emerged out of more primitive conditions, is always taking some kind of leadership, and unless you have in mind something more metaphysical than
local
than I do.
No, I see it local. I really do. I don't believe that we can have an advertising that can create for us who we think might be a leader, and I think that's what happens through these. Brainstorms the way they can create a personality to embody for us, who we think we want to lead us. But I think, again, it would be foolish to believe that that's really going to happen in terms of, again, we really are going to have to take it from the local level to make things change.
Well, I certainly agree with that. And one of my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Marilyn Hamilton, that you might want to talk to sometime from Royal Road University, just has published a book called The Integral City. And she is one of the best I've ever seen at understanding the local dynamics, and has done things in so many cities in Canada, even with the First Nations group, to find models at the local level for the management of the kinds of people who live in those particular areas. So I certainly agree that we've overdone the federal and the big high status individuals with their think tanks and certainly their spin doctors, that mm-hmm. often this image making that we have seen, and it's heightened during campaigns, mm-hmm. does sometimes lift us out of reality.
It sure does.
It's going to take a lot of action at the local level. By the way, we call this a mesh work, a way of meshing unique differences and leadership systems within a community.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond negotiation or consensus finding, and it's what we used in South Africa at the local and national level in order to build a society out of the apartheid structures.
Mm-hmm.
So these models do exist within value engineering and value management, and our colleagues in Netherlands have recently used this meshwork concept at the United Nations millennial goals to deal with issues confronting education and food and motherhood, because there are so many entities that want to do good but seemingly are not able to get their resources together in a way to focus on them. And my colleague Elza Malouf from Lebanon and I have been applying it in Palestine with fresh approaches to dealing with the Israeli-Palestine problem. We made 5 visits, and in February at the first nation-building conference in Palestine, where 700 Palestinian leaders met with us in Bethlehem to begin to map out the future of Palestine. So there are all kind of movements going on today.
Well, in the town of Jenin, and they had, from the bottom up, become a peace movement, and it took the local little town to bring the Israelis and the Palestinians together.
Well, if you probe that deeply, you'll find that some of the people working with us in Bethlehem, third generation Fatah leaders, are the ones behind that movement.
Wonderful.
So these things are starting
to
happen.
And that's what it's going to take in this country, the United States. Really, it's going to have to begin, because we're heading towards civil unrest, clearly. There's no question about that. And how to deal with that, and how to get teenagers off the street and out of violence. And it is going to take the mothers a lot, and the fathers, to come together in a local community-saving endeavor.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, and we've been working in Mexico with the Mexican Teachers Union and the Ministry of Education because of the serious gang problems and mm-hmm. drug problems in Mexico mm-hmm. that could become a failed state. And so we are very sensitive to what happens when our blue system, our absolutistic, even if it's not religious but civil, sense of responsibility and duty and justice and those things, when that system starts to weaken.
And the orange in the materialistic Wall Street level, when that weakens, then we really got problems.
Then we have serious problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have testing systems called the Global Values Monitor, where we're able to assess a whole culture. Mm-hmm. And our programs are in operation today in Iceland because of the serious problems which Iceland has had financially. So hope is on the way, and one of the things that makes it possible is the kind of technology that we have, so that we can, through data mining and web crawlers, we can begin to sense the underlying dynamics that are working in a culture and see the weak signals, or early signs of trouble starting to occur. And therefore, with this kind of technology, leaders can be more responsible.
Well, then let me ask you something about the United States. Do you see it at some future point dividing into 5 or 6 sections?
Well, there's a Russian academic who said we're about to split into 7 different divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since he said that,
a lot of people are saying that
the Republic of Texas will be its own
I can
country.
See that.
Well, we do have a clause in the contract in 1836 that said if we don't want to be with the Union anymore, we can reform the Republic of Texas. I don't see that happening right now. And nor am I as pessimistic as I think you are.
Well, no, I'm not at all pessimistic. I think on the other side of this, we're actually going to have a resource-based economy, which means that it won't be focused on debt or wars or enslavement. I really am very optimistic about the whole 2012 vision that many of us metaphysicians are holding right now. I think we are the ones who are on the cutting edge of being visionaries. But we know what it's going to take. You know, there are certain steps along the way, and we could take an instant leap as well. So, well, you know, it could go a number of different ways.
Of course, no one can foretell the future. I'm not quite as committed to the Mayan calendar as some are. I find that interesting. And I'm more
I think it's just a road mark along the way. And I really do think it's more like 2025.
This country has, you know, since I may have been around longer than you have, because that's why I mentioned Harry Truman, because he was the first president that I saw in the flesh. And when he came through my hometown, Purcell, Oklahoma, on the train in his campaign against Thomas E. Dewey. So I have a pretty long arc of understanding the intensity in this country around value systems.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly forged by Wars 1 and 2 when we stopped being hyphenated Americans. But you're right, there is no guarantee that sense of patriotism and nationhood that has sustained us through wars and depression, how strong that still is, because there are many elements.
Well, I think so many are disillusioned with a government that has failed them for 8 years now. And so I'm just being practical about that and where that's going to take us.
Well, that's why we have elections, and that's why.
Which don't matter whatsoever, but that's a whole other discussion.
You don't think George W. Bush is any different from Barack Obama?
I think Barack Obama is a patsy. I think he's going to be played like a puppet.
By whom?
By the cartel of transnational wealthy elites that have been running the country and that had used Bush like a puppet. I don't blame any one of these political figureheads. They don't have a choice in the matter. If they want politics, I mean, they've chosen politics, which is that it just doesn't have the idealism that we think it does. In fact, it's pretty corrupt.
Well, there is corruption for sure, as there is in business and education.
And to get to a place
law enforcement,
of such power, you know, you don't just get there by being totally naive about how it works. So, but I don't think Obama really knew quite how it worked. And I think that he's being forced to place certain people into his, you know, teams.
Yeah, one can most certainly think that. Michelle will kind of keep him straightened out.
Again, it's a pretty picture that the spin doctors have created. And I would love to believe that, you know, he's going to somehow pull us out of the craziness that we're in.
Well, he certainly can't do it by himself, but can't.
Well,
he?
And again, I think that it's important to stand by him, to really give him an opportunity to do a good job, and I'm all for that. But I'm also very practical, and do see signs already.
Ah, well.
When he chose, his national security team, that was pretty much a dead giveaway.
Well,
so anyway, but
sure. I mean, but as compared to choosing whom, so it's always, you know, who is available. And the other thing, you know, I've known George W. Bush a long time. I used to go to baseball games with him. I'm not a Republican, but I've I know him pretty well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when we continue to look at the kind of external threats that we have, these, of course, arose during Clinton's administration.
Mm-hmm.
And the question for me is, what's it going to take to deal with that world? And that's why having the kind of security people that he's picked, probably not the ones that he would like to pick in terms of the kind of world he'd like to see. But practically, the question for me is, what are the realities that we confront? And what kind of thinking is therefore necessary to deal with those realities?
Mm-hmm.
So, I tend to be...
I do agree that perhaps some of those choices really do make a lot of sense, actually. but again, I'm seeing a pattern. It's more... And it will be down the road that I really will make my decision about the whole thing. I'm still holding out on this, but so far the pattern doesn't look so good.
Well, yeah, I'm going to withhold judgment until I see what happens. I would have probably selected somebody else for president at this stage,
mm-hmm.
but... he did get.
I don't think we had a whole lot of choices, and again, it begs the question of whether we really do have free elections or not. And again, that's a whole other show. But when it comes to who was running, and we had a lot of other parties there, but we never heard about them. And certainly Ron Paul was one of my favorites.
Ah, okay, now. We got into sense something of your own point of view about
yeah.
it.
Well, I mean, he was telling us long ago that the our economic situation was in turmoil. I mean, several people. Dennis Kucinich was out there too, telling people to wake up. But anyway, I want you to take now the next few minutes, and because I want you to focus. Back on your work, and tell us, first of all, how to find out more about your work. You have a website?
Oh, sure. It's spiraldynamics.net is one of the sites. The Israel-Palestine situation is very well explained in the websites around the emergence of Palestine. And all these are mentioned on the humanemergence.org website, as well as a listing of all the centers around the world. It's the buildpalestine.org. That's one of the most vibrant
Wonderful.
Websites where you can even listen and see the speeches that were made in Palestine at the event that we sponsored.
Wonderful.
So we've got examples around the world of real people confronting real problems.
But well, I'm going to keep your information up on my website, and
good,
I will
okay.
put that link to buildpalestine.org up too. So that's valuable. And do you have any workshops or any way people can get to know you in person?
Oh yes, we have 5 a year in this country, and then we're really in pretty high demand around the world today. For some reason, Europe, even Russia, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and certainly Brazil, South America. So these are all listed on our website. So it's becoming a global movement.
Oh, I think there's so much need for this. The whole idea of building new systems and starting fresh.
Well, that's it, because a lot of people talk about change, but change from what to what and how.
Have you ever heard of Jacques Fresco, who does the Venus Project, who talks about resource-based economy?
Well, I think I've heard of that. There are so many wonderful programs
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Out there today, and many of them are really searching for something new and different. Mm-hmm. But I'm not quite sure I know about that one.
Okay. Well, you're right. There are so many, and I just I'm excited about our possibilities, and you know, so I'm researching all of them to find out, well, what feels right to me, and where can I put my energy.
Good for you, because that's, you know, like I say, there are so many groups today who have been active for some time, who are trying to reform their own system, like you described so well, are teetering between some pessimism and realizing the older systems, like the old wine skin, cannot contain this new wine that we've got. And
it's a grieving process, maybe, that you're picking up on.
Well, I think it is.
Because, like I say, I am very optimistic, but yeah. I do think, and we all have these old attachments. You know what I mean? So it's really requiring us to really shift. That's a big thing.
And keep an open mind and keep asking the functional question: what do we need to do to function at more complex levels? And how can we address global issues so they don't suddenly explode in our face?
Mm-hmm.
How do we be more preventative than what we have been recently? And especially, how do we understand cultures?
Mm-hmm.
How do we read their codes so we can assist their movement into more complex systems? I'm afraid we've learned the hard way in Iraq about that.
Yeah.
So maybe in spite of all the negative things which have happened, we can now turn a corner and begin to see what is possible. I'm not into a utopian vision of anything. I'm much too practical for that, because my friend Claire Gray used to warn me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Don, all you can ever do is help a country become what's next for it to become."
Oh. Yes.
If you pitch too far out, like the deep sea diving.
Well, and that's why I'm saying I'm seeing the certain possibilities that could arise in this country, and I do hold out for the best.
Well,
we
can shape many of these.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, see, that's the wonderful thing about it. We're not powerless anymore.
Well, Don, we have reached the end of our show.
Oh, good.
But I do want to again announce your website, and you've been listening to Dr. Don Beck, by the way, and this is Carrie L's HeartLink Show. And what's your website again?
With spiraldynamics.net.
Okay, people, I really recommend you check that out.
Well, look, thanks for interacting with me. I'm used to doing so many interviews where I simply get questions and answers and questions and answers.
Well, this is called the Carrie L's HeartLink Show.
Well, it's a lot more fun engaging with
you. Aren't you cute?
Keep the faith, okay?
Well, thank you for your wisdom and your inspiration.
Okay.
Thanks so much. And people, next time I will have Lynn McTaggart on my show. That's the intention experiment she's written. And so do join us. And thank you for listening. I'm so glad that we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons towards more freedom, light, and love. Have a great day. Bye-bye.